Welcome to Banfield, everyone. It is a very busy night of breaking news, and we have a lot of brand new exclusive information tonight. All of this as we await the arrival of Casey White back in Alabama. A police escort is right this moment transporting him from Indiana back to the county where he escaped from. And officials at the courthouse are awaiting his arrival for this late night arraignment in just minutes. We've got a live camera trained on the courthouse as we wait for his transport vehicles to arrive. In the meantime, we also have brand new information from sources involved in the manhunt and the capture of Casey White, all divulging fascinating details about how they stayed on the run and the specific mistakes those two made that tripped them up, leading to this, their capture. It looks like Casey and Vicky White were prepared to go down in a blaze of glory. And more breaking news, we now know from the autopsy completed today that Vicky White did indeed die from a single self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. The manner of death has been ruled officially suicide. A huge cache of weapons was also recovered as evidence after the two were finally caught in Evansville, Indiana, following 11 days on the run. And also found were wigs and this, about $29,000 of cash, all of it meticulously laid out by the sheriffs for the reporters to see and to photograph today. But it is thought that Vicky White had access to around $90,000 when they hit the road. But that's just $30,000. So is there still more money to be found? Cash that might have been hidden all along their planned route. We're also learning a lot more about those last moments when the pair wrecked out in that Cadillac. U.S. Marshals telling me that Casey asked one critical question of the arresting officers as they pulled him out of the car after the rollover. He asked them to, quote, "Help my wife. She just shot herself and I didn't do it." The marshals also told me that Vicky was pinned for a short time and then was treated briefly on the scene for that gunshot wound to the head before being rushed to the hospital. Vicky only survived for a couple of hours. She was pronounced dead at 7 p.m. local time last night. The sheriff in Evansville, Dave Wedding, also relayed what Casey White's original plan was before they crashed and Casey gave up peacefully. He's going to join me in just a minute to share that information, but here's a clue. His officers luckily avoided a shootout. We now also know that the fugitives had paid for a 14-day stay at the Motel 41 in Evansville, a very curious move for being less than 300 miles away from where this all started in Alabama. Investigators asked Casey White about that decision during their questioning of him late last night. Take a look.
He said that he was just trying to find a place to hide out and lay low, and they thought, you know, they'd driven long enough that they wanted to stop for a while, get their bearings straight, and then figure out their next place to travel.
Police also discovered the fugitive's Cadillac at the motel after a tip was called in by the manager of a car wash. Surveillance was set up outside that hotel, and they indeed spotted both Casey and Vicky leaving the motel, Vicky wearing a wig. The marshals tell me that's when, quote, a short pursuit began, but they also say it never did turn into a high-speed chase. And then this new detail as well. The marshals tell me they executed a special maneuver, pinning the Cadillac between their vehicles on three sides. That resulted in the car's rollover when it hit that drainage ditch. And we thought it had been a pit maneuver, but they surrounded that vehicle and effectively drove it into the ditch. Here is the audio of the police dispatch as that chase came to an end.
Units be advised, the female did call in. We could hear her on the line saying she had her finger on the trigger.
But for more on their time at the Motel 41, I want to turn now to News Nation senior national correspondent Brian Enten, who was on the ground in Evansville when all of this went down last night. It's also where we find him live tonight. Brian, what do we know about that hotel and how they were able to stay undetected for six whole days?
So we are at the 41 Motel right now in town here in Evansville. It's known as the Motel 6. And what's interesting, the old Motel 6, I should say, what's interesting is it's really just right across the street from the sheriff's office. We were in the sheriff's office parking lot earlier today, and you could see the motel. But I want to show you, because we've now learned which room Vicky and Casey White were staying in. It's room 150 right here. We learned that they actually had a homeless person book the room for them. They paid that person to book room 150 so they wouldn't have to go into the lobby and book it themselves and they could avoid the surveillance cameras. You'll notice that the curtains are closed. I was trying to peek through the window earlier. It looked like they had stripped the beds. And there's really nothing left in there. The marshals and the FBI got all the evidence out of there. But this is the room, room 150. This is where they were hiding out, Ashley.
No, there's a story to be told with the evidence that was left behind, because they were not expecting that when they went out of that hotel room that they were going to be tailed and that a chase was going to, ensue. I'm just looking at the door next to you, number 149, and I can't help but think of the neighbors, not just on either side of them, but above them and around them. Any word on neighbors hearing anything or having any intelligence on what they did for those 6 days?
What's interesting is no one here that we have talked to, and we talked to a lot of people all day long, saw this couple, including the manager. He was very clear that he didn't see them, that it was this homeless person who booked the room. But they have been moving about Evansville, and it's very interesting. You mentioned what they found in the room. They also found a lot of the cash and the weapons inside the car. Take a look at what we discovered today. Dash cam video shows the moment police storm Vicky and Casey White's car. You see officers cuff White and lay him down on the hood of the patrol car. Then they put him down on the ground. Today we also got our first look at what was inside the getaway car. $29,000 in cash and an AR-15, four handguns, a taser, and multiple rounds of ammo. The Vanderburgh, Indiana County Sheriff says it all would have ended much, much worse if they hadn't done the pit maneuver and stopped the couple.
And we later found out, had they not done that, the fugitive was going to engage in a shootout with law enforcement.
The sheriff says Vicky White was shot and killed. He says all indications are she took her own life, but he can't say for sure until the coroner finishes his investigation. This is what dispatchers were saying on the radio.
We could hear her on the line saying she had her finger on the trigger. Shot victim. Female is still armed.
Detectives say the couple was staying at this motel just across the street from the sheriff's office. They wore wigs when they were coming in and out. The manager says he never saw them, and it was a local person who rented the room.
And they did not even use fake ID or nothing. Somebody else checked in officially, and then they were visiting them. Technically.
New video also coming from the car wash where Vicky and Casey were first spotted in Evansville. And you can see Casey standing behind the truck door. The manager of the car wash, James Stinson, believes he was grabbing a gun. Later in the video, you see Vicky pull up in this Cadillac and pick Casey up before they abandon the truck. Law enforcement relieved, it's all finally over.
We've got the case solved. We've got a person deceased, and we have another person in custody headed back to Alabama. That's my concern.
And what's interesting, Ashley, is we have learned tonight from the people who work at this motel that there's such a fascination with this case all over the country that there are now people calling and wanting to book room 150 because they want to be in the room where Casey and Vicky were, which is obviously sort of creepy.
Yeah, the room where it happened officially. Okay, Brian, I'm going to ask you to stand by because we do have this breaking news that we're waiting on, and I want to come to you to ask you for questions about it. Obviously, Casey was where you are, but he got a fancy chauffeur in a, police transport out of there in extradition. So don't go anywhere, Brian, and a reminder to our viewers as well that any moment now that transport is going to bring the former fugitive, now inmate, Casey White, back to Alabama, where this whole saga began. They'll be arriving at the local courthouse in Lauderdale County just within minutes. It's kind of a moving target at this point, but that motorcade, that group of police vehicles, was on its way and all too happy to get rid of them, send them back to the other jurisdiction where he escaped. Casey is about to make a late night appearance tonight in the courthouse in Lauderdale. He's going to be arraigned, possibly on a string of brand new crimes, certainly on escape. Casey and Vicky were caught less than 300 miles from Alabama, from where that jail escape happened. They crossed three states to Indiana, where they were holed up in that motel in Evansville for six whole days, and that's where police got their first glimpse of the fugitive pair. I want you to listen to the audio of the moment that the pursuit actually began.
3-David-5-1 in pursuit.
Clear, 3-David-5-1.
This is suspects from Alabama.
He's out. Crashed out. Clear on, he crashed out.
Wigs and weapons and thousands in cash. Some of the evidence found after that crash out when Casey White surrendered to the police and Vicky White surrendered her life. Joining us now is Sheriff Dave Wedding of Vandenberg County, Indiana. He and his officers were at the center of this capture in Evansville. Sheriff, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us tonight. I wished I could be a fly on the wall as Casey was brought in and went under some of the first questioning, because it was my understanding he was going to have a couple of different agencies wanting to ask a few questions of him last night. I've heard he was candid. What did he tell you?
Well, he didn't tell me anything. I was handling the media, like talking to people like you throughout the night. He was being interviewed by the Vandenberg County Sheriff's Office detective section, and then he also talked to the members of the FBI. There was a lot of stories exchanged. Anytime you deal with a criminal, you have to sort out the fact and the fiction. So we know probably some of the things he told us were lies. Some of the things he told us may have been the truth. We have to kind of sift through the story to determine what he did tell us factual and what he did tell us was a lie.
Sheriffs, I watched some of your deputies as they escorted him from the extraction from the vehicle. He was down on his belly, as is, you know, standard protocol to get shackled and cuffed. And then they led him over to the cruiser. It was like a perfect view. He's missing a tooth. Did that happen in the rollover? Do we know if he got... What kind of medical attention did he get? What kind of injuries did he sustain in all of this?
He suffered very minor injuries. He was treated and released from the local hospital, and he appears to be doing fine since his release from the hospital.
So quick question about that. As I think about it, this guy's Houdini, and he's going to a hospital, and I'm only assuming that you and the marshals and everybody else were thinking this isn't our regular inmate hospital visit with one set of cuffs on the gurney. How did you hold him while he was in that brief hospital visit? How was he being guarded there?
We don't treat him any different. We, the size of our county, we deal with murderers routinely. We have 10 murders in our jail presently, 6 people in attempted murder, a lot of serious violent felonies. So we treat them like anyone else, a lot of caution. We have enough deputies to handle if the situation called for it, and we're trained to deal with something like that.
So did he indicate at all that he was upset about Vicky having shot herself right beside him? Did he show any sadness, remorse? Did he inquire after her?
I did not hear any stories that he was upset or alarmed at what she had done. I believe I was under the impression that he was under the impression that she would take her own life if they were going to be apprehended.
So no sadness, no wistful remorse, no questions if she'd survived? He didn't care?
I never got any feeling from him that he had any remorse or sadness at her passing.
I want to play a quick piece of tape from Vicky's 911 call, because as this chase was underway, she dialed 911 and spoke to a dispatcher saying that she had a gun to her head and threatening suicide. Let's take a quick listen. I want to ask you about it on the other side. Here it is.
Evansville, Iowa. 911. Hello?
Airbags are going off. Let's get out. Run. Get us back to the f***ing hotel.
Hello?
Sheriff, it's so alarming to hear her voice, you know, for the first time in all of this. I was wondering if your deputies could tell you, was she conscious when they were able to finally get her out of the vehicle? Did she utter anything? Did she say anything at all?
No, I was on scene, and she was not conscious and never said a word while she was being treated. She was gravely ill on the scene.
What about the arresting officers, those who got her out of the vehicle? I mean, this is a very strange dynamic. This is one of their own who had made a horrible decision and committed a terrible crime and caused a lot of angst and danger for her fellow officers. And there they were, pulling her out in the condition she was in and watching him being marched over to the cruiser. What was that like for them? Have they expressed to you what kind of feelings they had about what went down yesterday?
Once she made a conscious decision to join the criminal element, particularly getting involved with the murderer, helping that person escape, being on the run with him, we don't consider that person part of our law enforcement family or community. But she's an everyday criminal, in our opinion.
Can you tell me what was recovered in the hotel? Our Brian Enten said, you know, a peek through the closed curtains, it looks like it's been completely processed. What did they leave behind? My understanding from the marshals is they left quite a bit of evidence behind in that hotel room.
No, there wasn't that much evidence left in the hotel room. They had most everything packed up in their automobile.
What did they leave behind?
A few clothing garments and nothing of any evidentiary value. Everything.
Nothing of any evidentiary value?
No, most everything we had that we entered into evidence was from the vehicle. All the weapons, all the camping gear, everything that looked like they would need to be on the run.
Did you say camping gear? There was camping gear that was uncovered as well from the car?
In the car, yes.
What kind of camping gear?
Well, just looked like sleeping bags and a couple of miscellaneous things you'd have if you were planning on camping.
Did they have a tent?
I don't know. I didn't itemize. I just saw a photograph of things that were kind of wrapped up, and you could tell it was camping gear.
Did it appear they were leaving room 150 for good, or did they... Were they shocked by the fact that they were then in pursuit? Had they intended to go back to room 150, or did they assume that there were eyes on them?
We believe they were leaving room 150 for good and traveling elsewhere.
Even though they'd paid for 14 days, they were going to leave after six. Do you think that they knew that they'd been made, that they knew police had eyes on them?
And that could be a good hypothesis from them. And once again, criminals don't have mindsets like everybody else. They're not at Disney World for a week's vacation. They're on the run. They pay because they probably got a good deal at an inexpensive hotel. Obviously, they were throwing money around. She started out with a large sum of money and had $29,000. They either spent or misplaced a large part of the money she had in a very short period of time. So I don't think they were concerned with leaving a hotel with a few days paid rent.
Interesting, though, that they left clothes behind. But that to the money now, because this one's been beguiling me all day, bedeviling me, I should say. She had at least $90,000 in the sale of her house. Why would she leave money behind? It's assumed that she took that money in cash on the road, and they spent $6,000 on a car, maybe a few thousand on another car, and maybe a few thousand on the Cadillac. They spent the money on the hotel, which is not much, and $30,000, as we see on the screen right now, is recovered. But that, to me, says there's around $60,000, maybe $50,000 out there somewhere. Do you guys assume that they had stashed money elsewhere and that there's still money to be recovered in this story?
There may be some money that's recovered, but it's hers. I'm not concerned with the money at this point. If the Alabama authorities are, or anybody else, they're welcome to search for it, but it's no concern of mine at this point.
Sheriff Dave Whiting, I cannot thank you enough for your time and also the great work that you and your men and women and also the marshals and the FBI did, you know, in concert with each other to bring this to an end like this. It's very sad that Vicky has lost her life and probably took those secrets to the grave, but do appreciate your time tonight. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
So any moment now, as I've mentioned a few times, Casey White's police escort will be pulling into Lauderdale County, Alabama, returning him to the scene of his escape just 12 long days ago. Got a live shot trained right there for you as media has set up, and we're waiting. We've been given a pretty wide window as to when he might arrive, sort of any time now in the next 30 to 45. Let me listen in and see if I can hear anything on the ground there. You real quickly why this shot is important. This inmate, and this is straight from the horse's mouth there, his jailers, he's dangerous, and they're not about to take him to the Lauderdale County lockup. That just isn't in the cards for him tonight. He's going straight to the courthouse, and this is where we expect to see him. There is not expected to be the official perp walk, but we are expected to see what we can, because you can't get from that spot inside without walking. But there you go. Casey White about to make another major appearance on camera. Not in the way he was hoping to. Still to come, what's waiting for Casey back in Alabama? But for him, Vicky White might still be alive tonight and probably clocking in for another shift at that jail. I'm going to ask Vicky White's boss what kind of welcome Casey White can expect when he gets back home tonight. Welcome back to Banfield Breaking News tonight. Any minute now, Casey White is about to return to the Alabama County, where 12 days ago he broke out of the jail there with the help of his girlfriend guard. They led police on an 11-day manhunt that ended in her death. Vicky White's colleagues at that jail are all aware that Casey is about to arrive back in Lauderdale County. They've made some special arrangements to keep him in custody while he's arraigned at the nearby county courthouse, too, before being loaded right back into the police transport and chauffeured to the state penitentiary. That's where he's going to spend his first night, back in the place where he will likely spend thousands more. He won't be in any regular cells on this journey, and he sure won't be as comfortable as he was before he convinced his guard and girlfriend, Vicky White, to help break out of that Lauderdale County facility. We have live cameras waiting to see when the sheriff's motorcade is going to pull up to transfer the prisoner to the courthouse, and we're going to bring it to the minute that he does show up. But that mad dash that Casey and Vicky made across three states involved multiple getaway cars and at least one motel. The pair broke out of the Lauderdale County Jail 12 days ago before going on a Bonnie and Clyde-styled run that ended in a police pursuit and the death of that jail guard, Vicky White. Casey White waived extradition and is again right now, as I said, en route from Indiana and expected to arrive momentarily at the Alabama jail, which is great because I'm joined right now by the guy who runs that place, Sheriff Rick Singleton of Lauderdale County, Alabama, man in charge of the jail. All right, so Sheriff, there's so many questions I have because so many jurisdictions were involved in this whole odyssey. I was just talking to the sheriff of Evansville, asking him about that hotel room. He said there was evidence left behind in the hotel room. He said it wasn't of significant evidentiary value, but you're the guys who are going to be doing some prosecuting. Are you in receipt of that evidence, and do you know what was left behind?
Our investigators have spent the day in Evansville, and they did retrieve what evidence was there and are on their way back to Alabama with that evidence. I'm not sure. I have not, of course, gotten an item out of the list of what evidence was retrieved. I do understand it's about $30,000 in cash, the weapons, and some other items.
And some camping gear in the car and apparently some extra clothing, et cetera, from the hotel room. But when you do get that list, I'm going to check back with you on it. What charges is Casey White about to answer to in the next few minutes when he pulls up there and is, you know, paraded in front of, I'm assuming, a magistrate to be arraigned tonight?
Actually, in front of a circuit judge. The charge tonight that he's been arraigned on is escape. That's obviously from the events of April the 29th. He will have an opportunity to meet with his attorneys prior to that hearing, and then the hearing will be conducted, and he will be loaded up and transported to the Department of Corrections.
Something new I learned tonight, Sheriff, was that a co-worker of Vicky's at the jail was enlisted in this whole terrible plan to pick her up at the place where she dropped that original orange Ford. She dropped the car and called the co-worker to give her a ride back to the jail. And, of course, she eventually, you know, took the cruiser and the two of them escaped in the cruiser and picked up the Ford, the orange Ford, at that drop site. That coworker must be very, very upset at the notion that Vicky, you know, drew them into this.
She's one of her closest friends, and but your information is a little incorrect. Vicky White contacted her and told her she had locked her keys in the car and needed a ride. And actually, she carried her to Rogersville, which is a small town in eastern Lauderdale County where her personal vehicle was at.
Well, good to know, though, that there is that clarity that Vicky said she locked her keys in her car and thus needed the help of that that coworker. None of this, my assumption, is true because the car was planted there for a purpose, for her getaway. You spoke with Vicky's mother today. Can you tell me a little bit about that and whether Vicky's mother will be at least receiving the $30,000 that's been retrieved from Vicky and Casey's rollover crash?
I spoke to her mother. Her mother has been extremely distraught over the last several days, very stressed out, obviously very upset that her daughter, first of all, pulled a stunt like this, and now that she has lost her daughter, I called to express our condolences and to offer any assistance we could be to her and her family. They're good people, and they are just as shocked as any of the rest of us that her daughter would do something like this.
Will she get that money? Sheriff, I know it's evidence, but eventually the money has to be returned to someone, and she sounds like the only next of kin.
To my knowledge, she is the next of kin, and absolutely, when I don't know if the money will have to be held for evidence, that'll be up to the district attorney's office, but it will eventually be released, and I would assume that she would be the next of kin.
Yeah, well, and let's hope that maybe there is more money to be found, because out of $90,000, you can't spend that much on a couple of cars and a motel and some snack food, for 11 days. So there's got to be some more money somewhere, possibly. So let's hope that they can find it. Sheriff Singleton, thank you. I know you're busy tonight, and I know you got to get down there because you're awaiting the arrival of that, much ballyhooed inmate. So we'll check in with you just to see how smooth everything goes tonight when that arraignment happens in the next few minutes. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
You're welcome. And they just alerted me they are in town. They should be downstairs in about 5 minutes.
Oh, great. Well, thank you for that update. We're going to get that live camera back up and running, make sure our viewers can see, that transfer. We really appreciate your time again, and good luck with it. And make sure you got lots of men and women guarding them as they make this appearance. This guy's crafty.
Absolutely.
All right, Sheriff Singleton joining us tonight. There's one other piece of detail I just want to let you know about as well. We also learned from the marshals today, because you've probably been wondering, when that orange Ford broke down, right, in Tennessee, how did they get up to Evansville in that truck? Where did they get that truck? How did they get that truck? And it turns out that pair went canvassing the neighborhood and found a yard with cars that had for sale signs in it. And they paid that family $6,000 for the silver truck that you eventually saw abandoned in the bay of that car wash. So no, it wasn't stolen. It wasn't stolen. It was purchased for $6,000 in cash, of course, from Vicky's cash. And the VIN number was provided by that family to the police. And when they ran the VIN number, they saw that police in Evansville had run that VIN number too. And that's how they knew to get to Evansville. Not because the car was stolen, but because an officer, due to the car wash manager, had run the VIN number and determined, no big deal, it's not stolen. But when two officers run the VIN number, all of a sudden the connection was made. So here's the live picture that we just told you about. You just heard Sheriff Singleton say that Casey White and his entire entourage has arrived in this county, in Lauderdale County, and this is the courthouse. So should be just a couple of minutes until they actually arrive in that Sallyport, I'm expecting, and then transferred, into visit with the circuit judge, which, by the way, at 9:36 at night Central Time is a very late time for a circuit judge to be working. And that just tells you how important this inmate and processing this inmate on that escape charge is. I also want to tell you, if you're like me, you think, what do you mean just escape? This guy committed a whole host of alleged crimes. Where are the other crimes? You can always add them later, but you need to lock down at least one to keep him in custody at this point. The other thing is, you should know, he is not going to sleep a night in this building. and he's not going to sleep a night in the Lauderdale County Jail. He is going to get right back into that transport and be shipped off about an hour away to the penitentiary. There's the sheriff that you just saw in his live interview with us. Let's listen in.
Oh, okay. He was going in the courtroom, going to the front building after he took security.
No, no, he's not. He got sent out of people going to the courtroom. They got scared.
He's going in? No.
It's hard to make out what they're saying, but clearly the sheriff, Rick Singleton, is making preparations for the media to be able to at least be in place. And I think they're going to have to move that camera as well. I'll tell you, this is a good chance for me to just throw in a quick break so that we don't miss the action. We're going to jump to the break, and when we come back, you're going to see that that whole team arriving with the inmate who's the most famous inmate in America right now. Back after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. The live shot is still up and running, and thank goodness we squeezed that commercial break in because I was hoping he wouldn't arrive right while we were in break. So we are just minutes away from Casey White with a special chauffeur-driven trip for about 4.5 hours from Evansville, Indiana, to Lauderdale, Alabama, which is just about 117 miles away from Nashville, in case you're wondering where Lauderdale is. You're seeing some sheriff deputies, and you're seeing some media who are milling about in the shot right now. But this is live. It's 10:42 Eastern time. It is 9:42 Central time in that location. And at any moment, Casey White and his entire entourage of sheriff's deputies and vehicles are going to pull up so that they can transport their newly captured fugitive into that building, which is the county courthouse. He's about to be presented in front of a circuit court judge, and he's going to have to answer to the arraignment of a an escape charge. And that, my friends, is just for starters. I think you can bet your bottom dollar he's going to face a few more charges after this night. But at the very least, they will have him on the record for the crimes he's alleged to have committed over the last 12 days after that escape from the Lauderdale County lockup. You just saw the sheriff who's in charge of that lockup, Rick Singleton. He is just off camera awaiting the arrival of this motorcade. Obviously, several vehicles and several guards and officers who are doing the duty to watch this very important fugitive slash now prisoner as they make the transfer. Of course, the security of this transfer is going to be very, very unique. I know you heard another sheriff say he's being treated like every other inmate, but make no mistake, he is not every other inmate. This man may be responsible for the death of a jail guard who made some of her own decisions, but who is clearly not with us any longer and might not be in that predicament, but for the escapee and his plans. And he obviously had a lot of plans for escape prior. This was something they were worried about. This was something the jail even instituted a new policy about. This is his new mugshot. And hopefully, folks, it's one of his last as he was processed into the Vandenberg County Sheriff's Office up in Evansville. But we know how it works. He's now going to have to be processed down in Lauderdale, so we'll probably get a brand new one with maybe a different color jail jumpsuit. Maybe this one will be orange like the one he was wearing before. But here is something that's interesting. You would think at 9:45 Central Time at night that he'd be just sent off to the local jail, locked up until working hours when a circuit court judge has regular office hours. But no, he is not going to that jail. No, they don't really want him in that jail right now. And the sheriff says that jail's not really good enough for him. They were going to have to put him in a special whole circumstance in an outdated old jail that they're even applying to county commissioners to spend some money to upgrade. Instead, as soon as they do this arraignment, they're going to pile him right back into that motorcade. And sheriff's deputies are going to drive him about an hour away to the state penitentiary, the place where he was sitting pretty on a 75-year sentence. I don't even have enough time to go over all the things this guy is facing, but safe to say he's locked away for an attempted murder and a whole bunch of other charges, okay, and kidnapping and killing a dog. He was after his girlfriend, and her friends were in the way as well and ended up part crime victim, too. He also blabbed to another inmate while in that lockup, that state penitentiary, that he killed an elderly woman in her home, stabbed her to death. And so after admitting to that first-degree capital murder, he was charged with it. So he has to be processed and go to trial, and that's why he was in the Lauderdale lockup in the first place. And now you can bet your bottom dollar he's going to face the escape and, folks, maybe even the felony murder of that woman, Vicky White. Yes, she made her decisions, but in the commission of a felony, that inmate in the orange jumpsuit, there was a person who died, and that's a classic felony murder. Whether they will prevail with that, who knows, but that might be a charge that's leveled against him as well. Brian Enten's been covering this story live. He's in Evansville, from whence Casey was just extradited. So something interesting I learned tonight, Brian, and we're watching that live shot, and that is that there was camping gear found in the vehicle, and as well, they said that what was back in that hotel room, the sheriff in your jurisdiction there didn't think it was of much evidentiary value.
Yeah, and bear with me. I'm going to look around a little bit, Ashley, because the motel owner just got very, very upset. He has had enough. There are people coming by. There are people checking out room 150. And he just had a bit of a heated moment. So we've tried to get off of his property. So if anything weird happens with him, because he was getting a little upset for a minute there. So just bear with us on that. But yeah, sure. That was the first time that I have heard that, what you got out of the sheriff, that there was camping gear inside the car, inside the Cadillac, that they had camping gear, and that apparently they had cleaned out the hotel room for the most part. I think he said, wasn't there condoms and a few other things in the motel room, but pretty much everything else was cleaned out, and that they had camping gear in the car. That was the first time I heard that, and I don't know what you think, Ashley, but what I took from it was that they were on the move to go to a new location, that they were perhaps done with Evansville when this police chase happened.
Yeah, that's what Sheriff Wedding said. He thought that they were done with the hotel room. Brian, I got to squeeze in a quick break because I'm told that we have time and I don't want to miss the arrival of Casey White. So viewers, don't go anywhere. We've got the live shot up. And when we come back, we're going to take you right back to that live location to see when that famous inmate arrives.
Did you kill Connie Ridgway?
Look at the number of people guarding that inmate. Look how they're dressed. That is what you call a lot of extra manpower. For a 6'9" fugitive, and there's Sheriff Singleton right there shaking the hands of those who escorted that that very dangerous prisoner all the way from Evansville, Indiana, down to his jurisdiction in Lauderdale County, Alabama, not far from Nashville, about 117 miles from Nashville. There you can see some of the vehicles that that escorted, that gave him a chauffeur-driven lift. And make no mistake, it was a bit of a convoy, folks. They had several vehicles, and you could see all that personnel that transported Casey White back to Alabama to face the music. He is walking into that building right now as those sheriff's vehicles pull out of that Sallyport. And he is about to be presented in front of a circuit court judge. And this is the current mugshot from Evansville. That's Vandenberg County. But he's going to get new jail garb, brand new color. I think it's orange in this county. And he's going to get a brand new mugshot, hopefully one of his last, before he's, you know, having to stick around behind bars and, you know, quiet, lay low. He wanted to lay low. He's going to lay really low. And then he's going to be presented for that arraignment with escape. That's the number one charge that the sheriff says he's going to face tonight. Don't know about the other charges. Those will follow when it's less harried and it's not, you know, nearly 10 o'clock central time. But what a dramatic conclusion to 12 days of an odyssey that pretty much every American was following, wondering where they were going to end up. And you heard some of those reporters. Maybe the reason this story was so big was because he was pretty big and pretty dangerous. But she was in love. And you heard the reporters yelling, did he love her? They wouldn't answer. Casey didn't answer, didn't say a word to the reporters as they tried to get a comment from him. But that's pretty much the last you see the two of them together were these shots. And that's the last you'll see. It was very sad to hear the sheriff say how devastated her mother was, because by all accounts, folks, her coworkers and her mother said she was a wonderful person. Brian Enten is live for us tonight. Brian, that's the end of the chapter of this odyssey, at least for now. Casey White back in custody and about to face a judge for what he's alleged to have done in the last 12 days.
Yeah, that's what I keep thinking about, Ashley, all the twists and turns of the last 12 days. We didn't know how this was going to end, and now Casey White is back where it all began. He's back in Florence, Alabama. He's at the Lauderdale County Courthouse. He is facing justice for all of this, and Vicky White is dead, and that is something else now that community is going to have to process.
I'll bet it wasn't lost on you that all the reporters in that Sally Port were yelling questions to him. Casey, did you love her? Casey, did you love her? And he just walked straight in and didn't look at anybody and didn't answer to that. And I think that's the big mystery. Did she die thinking that she found the love of her life?
Yeah, and I think that was a good question. That's probably what I would have asked too, because I think that's something that he may have answered. We know that when he got out of the car after she shot herself, he referred to her as his wife. Did he really love her? Did she really love him? What was all of this? She gave up everything. She gave up her entire career. She gave up her life. She betrayed her mother. She betrayed her family. Was it all really worth it? Questions we may never know the answer to.
Yeah, and in the end, no, it wasn't. She's dead and he's alive. Brian Enten, thank you for that.